Installation and Maintenance of Health IT Systems. Unit 11. Pilot Testing and Full-Scale Deployment. In this lesson, we will touch on identifying, training, and installation of pilot program users, soliciting feedback from those users to tweak the system, and beginning full deployment. We will look at the two most common deployment strategies, as well as the importance of training end users prior to the final rollout dates. Lastly, we will close the loop by highlighting some tips for successful deployment and some post-deployment initiatives to undertake. As the rollout date approaches and internal testing winds down, at some point real users must be allowed to interface with the new system, take it through its paces, and provide feedback. We call this process pilot testing. Pilot testing is designed to catch and correct costly errors before they are magnified through full deployment. Defining a pilot testing group is largely dependent on the organization's size and structure and its priorities. In larger organizations, consider creating a steering committee comprised of clinical, administrative, and information technology leaders deeply involved in the selection process to assist with identifying pilot practices or departments. Use a readiness assessment to identify the technical capabilities of the practice's staff and the ability of the practice's existing practice management technology to meet its needs. The readiness assessment can also help you devise a final rollout strategy for identifying which departments are more willing to be capable and more ambitious about rollout schedules, and which departments will need additional readiness efforts prior to the implementation. Staff education and training is essential for a successful rollout of HR systems. Training for end users is best done within 2 weeks of going live so that new skills are not quickly forgotten. One initial training session may not be enough. Teaching complex skills like efficient note documentation for physicians can be started with the initial training and then advanced with briefer updates. While some EHR skills apply to all users, distinct user groups such as receptionists, records personnel, medical assistants, nurses, and physicians will benefit from customized training relevant to them. Many implementations use train-the-trainer approach, in which a core group of people are trained directly by the vendor. This group in turn trains the rest of the users at their sites. Training can be done in classroom style, via web, one-on-one, depending on the resources and inclinations. Initial training time will vary depending on your software implementation plan. Many training sessions range anywhere from 4 hours to 16 hours for physicians. Workflows and pre-implementation training should enable the staff to use EHR without intense support from the implementation team after the initial implementation has been completed. In most ways, you should consider the rollout of your EHR as a mini-trial run of the final rollout strategy. Begin with setting your pilot implementation dates and begin with setting up training session with your project users. Here are some of the more important tips about your pilot installations. Pilot sites should understand that being a pilot site requires flexibility on timelines and functionality. Because the transition to the EHR may not run as smoothly as hoped, a detailed plan for addressing anything from minor glitches to the worst-case scenario should be developed prior to the start of implementation and communicated to all providers and staff at the implementation site. Adequate technical support must be available during the transition period, and providers of staff should know how to access it when needed. Likewise, resources need to be committed and available at a moment's notice when the site goes live. A standardized communication process should be in place for internal department communications and feedback centralized around the EHR implementation clinic superuser. Having a single person act as a liaison between the EHR team and the clinic undergoing implementation helps these two entities communicate effectively. Every individual on the project should be aware of the policies and procedures that underlie the decisions made at the organizational level regarding the EHR and its implementation. A formalized orientation process should be developed for new members joining the project. There is a trade-off between complexity and the additional content in an EHR functionalities, particularly in clinical decision support applications. While it is important that EHR applications not intimidate a first-time user, it is also important to remember that as users become more familiar with the system, they will learn and come to appreciate the advanced options and functionalities that might have appeared unnecessary at first. Complex modules such as charge capture may be deferred until later during the implementation process. During the decision-making process, at both the organizational and individual clinic levels, many people should be involved as possible, representing the views of physicians, nursing staff, administrative, financial staff, and all others who will use the various functions in the EHR regularly. Medication doses and instructions incorporated in the EHR content should be reviewed by independent experts to ensure that prescription errors are not programmed into the system. Users are asked to report any potential mistakes. Even during pilot and beta phases of a project implementation, system stability is essential to gaining user confidence in the system. Even brief periods of instability can leave negative impressions long after the instability has been resolved. Once the implementation has occurred, it's important to listen to your pilot user feedback to isolate and resolve potential glitches in the system or make interface adjustments to resolve severe workflow issues which may have arisen. Try not to get wrapped up into customization in the early stages, however, as it takes time to adjust to new work patterns. Listen to your end users and carefully evaluate and respond to their feedback. Actively solicit feedback so you can implement improvements before problems arise. Take nothing for granted. Slow resolution may demoralize users and result in low adaptation. Established practices have mountains of data stored in old charts, but it's neither practical nor reasonable to transfer all of that data to the EHR. Create a clear plan for defining what portions of current charts you'll transfer and from how far in the past you will want to retain records. Your decisions will be determined by practice preferences, physicians' needs, and the available time and money. The more data loaded into the system at launch, whether by you or the vendor, the sooner you'll see benefits of the EHR. There are three options for dealing with legacy data at launch. There's the no preloading option, in which, in this scenario, paper charts are retained for reference, and all visits after the go-live date use EHR. There's the preload limited data. With this plan, the EHR is preloaded with commonly referenced data like current medications, chronic conditions, immunization history, and allergies. This approach reduces the need to pull paper charts for most visits. There's also the preload all information from last year option. Ideally, your vendor will assist you in this scenario since the data input volume is high. In this case, older paper charts are retained for reference. One of the difficult decisions of an EHR implementation is the implementation strategy. Do you want to take the big bang approach and get it all done quickly, or do you want to slowly phase in new processes and technology over time? Should all physicians go on the system at once? Should you start all functions at once? Ideally, all physicians in one office should go on the EHR together. Otherwise, the office staff will need to run at least two different sets of processes for paper-based physicians versus EHR physicians. Not only is that confusing, but it's also inefficient. However, if your practice has more than one office, there is no overriding reason that all practices have to go on the EHR at the same time. In fact, depending on your practice's resources, you might be wiser to roll out one office at a time. A few practices have successfully implemented all functions of an EHR at once. This can be called Big Bang. The consensus, however, is that success is more likely if you implement functions sequentially in what is known as a phased implementation. This is especially true in larger organizations where Big Bang implementations have, despite careful planning, led to practice chaos with clerical staff, nurses, and providers' work nearly ceasing, resulting in substantial productivity losses and the inability to retain training. When applying the phased implementation approach, typically you start by introducing less interactive functions first, like scanning and result viewing, and then you move on to the interactive functions like inter-office messaging, prescription writing, note documentation. A lot of variety exists in this area, partly perhaps due to the variation in the HR software. With regard to specific phase implementation strategies, you should pay close attention to your EHR vendor's recommendations. Here are some keys to successful implementation. Train, train, train. Train, evaluate, and support your users throughout the implementation process. This is essential for optimizing your user efficiency, effectiveness, and system adaptability, and for building user confidence. Test your system thoroughly before and after the final rollout, and resolve any issues promptly. And we'll end on the last note. Remember that end users determine the success of your implementation. Support them from the beginning of the implementation and throughout the training and post-implementation support. Realize that implementing health IT is not the ultimate goal. The objective should be to maximize the efficiency, quality, and effectiveness of your care delivery processes. Support the implementation through proactive organizational policy. Facilitating user adoption through training and continued support can help you achieve optimal results. Closing the gap. Post-implementation. Just because the rollout has been completed and your IT teams are beginning to settle into normalized routines, the job is only beginning. Now your plan has officially entered the maintenance and update phase of the product lifecycle. There are some tasks you should do to close the gap. For instance, now is the time to run another baseline test to determine if any shortfalls associated with increased system usage. Based on these new baseline projections, decide where you stand for further growth. Are your system resources holding within projected margins? Also, it's time to solicit user feedback as soon as you feel that they have become acclimated to the system. Examine the feedback for common workflow and technical issues that need resolving. Continue to provide an avenue for these users to submit feedback and suggestions for improvements. And don't forget to hold a program review meeting with all the key stakeholders and implementation players. Discuss what went right and what went wrong. Lastly, hold a customer acceptance meeting with the vendor, sometimes called a closeout meeting. Use this opportunity to summarize your user acceptance testing and finalize customer service agreements.